From the creators of the hit kids podcast, Who Smarted, and Netflix's Brainchild, comes the adventurous world of Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as MATH. Every episode follows Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs, making learning cool. This podcast is perfect for ages 6 and up. I'll tell you what, guys, I've listened to a few episodes and they're super fun. I really wish that my son had had this podcast when he was younger and growing up. These episodes drop every Thursday. They're only about 15 minutes or so. The series explores themes like the stories behind math, critical thinking, code breaking, problem solving, and more. Each one is stacked with so much laughter that your kids won't even realize how much they're learning. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids, and you can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back, and now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact. Hello, hello. Welcome back. How's everyone doing? I've got tons of stuff going on that I wanted to touch base with you on. I think I told you a couple of weeks ago that Phoenix Rising is doing so great. The women in there they're really moving, man. They're moving through some hard shit, and they're doing it in this beautiful collective of support. And that looks like so many different things. You know, we've got women who are having to strategize before leaving and figure out all of the things that they need to address before they even have the conversation. We've got women who are, you know, on the other side and navigating co-parenting. We've got women grappling with their sexuality. We've got, there's just so many different stories and so many different places that women are at. And so because of that, I just kind of want to, I guess, impress upon you that wherever you're at, if you have made this decision, whether you've had the conversation, haven't had the conversation, man, you're going to find your people in Phoenix Rising. With that said, I think that's all I'll tell you about for now. I think that's enough because I want to get to today's episode with Sadie Marie of Divorced and Happy. She is the host of Sadie's Divorced and Happy podcast. She empowers divorced men and women globally to embrace the exciting, playful, and even spicy life that awaits them after divorce. She also produces Divorced and Happy social events in cities across the country, including the Twin Cities, Denver, and Chicago. So you can find out more about that at divorcedandhappy.net. And this conversation is great. We talk about feeling disempowered in your marriage to reclaiming your personal empowerment after divorce and everything in between. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Sadie Marie. Sadie, thank you so much for coming on and talking about being divorced and happy.
Happy being the critical word. Yes. Happy.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. So, okay. Why don't we, I actually hate this question usually, but I'm going to ask it. And if you hate it, just hit pass and we'll pass. I was just wanted to sort of hear a little bit about your story and how you got to this place being so happy.
So I've been divorced about 6 years now. And I look at photos. I don't know if this has been your experience, but I look at photos of myself from when I was married. First of all, I had very short hair. I weighed 30 pounds more and I was not happy. And I look at that image of that woman and I'm like, oh, you know, I, first of all, I'm relieved to not be that woman anymore, but I know the journey has been really meaningful to be on the other side of, of a difficult marriage. And I know a lot of your clients and listeners are at that place where they're making that difficult decision, where they're terrified. And I remember that very vividly, that journey going through a divorce. But the other side of divorce, it's the best. It is the best. We're listening. It is the best.
Oh my God. Okay. So tell me, tell me why you say that. Why do you say it's the best?
Because you get your life back. I mean, I didn't feel like I had my own life. I didn't feel authentic. I clearly wasn't taking care of myself physically and mentally. I was living like a shell of my existence. And once I got divorced and I was through the shitstorm of divorce, it was like, I use the metaphor because everybody's watched the movie Wizard of Oz, right? We've all seen that movie. And Dorothy's in Kansas and it's dreary and it's black, you know, it's black and white.
Black and white.
Yeah. And then she gets to Oz and it's like, it's like brain goes and butterflies and everything. And that's how I felt probably the first couple of years, you know, right after my divorce, because everything was new and vivacious and colorful. And I grew my hair longer and I wore bright colors and I took care of myself and I lost weight, you know, all these different things because I felt so good inside. I'm like, I can see authentic again. I get to actually confess to my friends. I was not happy in my marriage. And I will say some of my friends are kind of hurt by that, that I didn't share when I was going through that time. But, you know, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to be authentic. And then once I had the courage to change my life, I was ready to do a lot of things, Kate. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I want to get into that. But first I want to say, no, I definitely do. First, I want to say that thing about your friends is really, really big because I had friends who, I mean, legit were really angry with me for, quote, lying to them for so long.
They took it very personally.
Fair. I was like, first of all, guess what? This isn't about you, right? And secondly, like I was lying to myself.
Right. And that's the truth. That is such a good point. If you can't be honest with yourself, it's kind of hard to be honest with other people.
Right.
That whole shame thing, you know, it's like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that I'm in this marriage and all these things are happening? And I think also what I love about the other, being on the other side of divorce is I don't feel like I'm a victim anymore. And I had quite I'm going to just own it. I had quite the victim mentality in my marriage. Like things are just, quote, happening to me. Like I had no power. I had no say. That's not true. P.S. I had a lot of power and a lot of say, which helped me change my life because I finally said, I'm done. I'm moving on. I'm going to have something better than this.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just going to also own too that I chose, you know, maybe on a subconscious level, but I was giving my power to someone else. I wasn't giving it to me. And so after divorce, like giving all that power back to me, it's like, what can't I do? I can do all the things, you know, I love that feeling, that unstoppable feeling you have when you get through a divorce. It's like, bring it. I got this. I can do this. Never letting that go.
What would you say to somebody who hears this in you, right? But cannot fathom that for themselves right now? They feel so disempowered, right?
Sure. I would say to that person, if they have the resources to find a therapist, because that mindset can be shifted, I would say to that person, start doing something physically. Start, you know, during my divorce, I took boxing classes.
Me too. Well, I did it before my divorce. It was one of the things, it was one of the catalyzing factors, right? Was that I was... the rage was starting to like come out and I was like, oh, I'm really fucking angry.
Who knew? Leave it to boxing. But for me, it was great because I could just let out the stress. So if you are feeling like you're not powerful, do something physically with your body that makes you feel powerful.
Yeah.
Challenge yourself some way physically.
Yeah. Right. It's hard, I think, for people to imagine when they hear us on the other side, right? I think often people will make up that we were always this way. This isn't a transformation, right? And I guess I really want to impress upon people that for both of us, this is a transformation. The Absolutely. Person that you see or hear before you right now, this is not who we were in our marriages.
No, I was always the pleaser, wanting to be the pleaser in my marriage. I mean, I had that good girl thing going on, and I now say I'm a recovering good girl. Like, I don't need to be a good girl. I don't need everybody to like me. I don't need everybody to agree with me. I'm good. Like I don't need that anymore. But in my marriage, I really did. You know, I'm a photographer. That's my profession. And I mm-hmm. would always send out, it's a very Midwestern thing, Kate.
Oh, right. Yes.
I always send out the Christmas card because I got these gorgeous children and my ex was very handsome and we'd be, you know, the gorgeous family and we'd get all these compliments and inside I'd be like, oh, but if you only knew the truth.
Right.
And so now it's so freeing. Not that I, you know, just walk the streets claiming my truth or professing my truth per se, but I'm quicker to be like, yeah, this is my truth. Like, I kind of know when I'm bullshitting myself. I can own it quicker than mm-hmm. when I ever did when I was married. And I feel so grateful for that I am free of needing to please and perform and be something else so other people will like me and accept me. It's like, do I like me? Do I accept me? Okay, if I don't, I'm going to work on that because that's what matters the most. She's leaning in.
That being said, right? And I again, like, I want people to understand that like this, it takes work, right? And I agree with you, if possible, a therapist, a coach, somebody to help you through this, because sometimes you need to borrow strength, right? I think for my clients, for, you know, like borrowing someone else's power and borrowing someone else's strength when you don't feel like you have it of your own can be really powerful.
Why do we read a book? Why do we watch a movie? Because we want to relate to that character on the screen. We want to believe that we can have that life too. I mean, one thing I've learned just through my own podcast and social media is people like my page because I have fun. I'm being playful. I'm being spicy. And they see me doing it and they're like, well, if she can do it, maybe I can do it, which is absolutely true.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Speaking of spicy.
Yes.
And being a recovering good girl.
I know, right?
Let's talk about some of the fun that you get to have or that you have been having in the last few years. I'm curious about your journey through that and through the fun and the play and the dating and the sex and the, you know, like what's possible on the other side.
Well, I learned things that my body could do that I had no idea they could do.
Wow. Okay.
Before marriage. I loved learning that I was a sexual being because I am the daughter of a minister, speaking about dad's retired dad.
Right.
So I was never really given I wasn't given permission to be a sexual being. And I can't say my 20s, I really explored my sexuality much. I was very focused on doing the right thing. And, you know, if I ever had sex in a relationship, it's because we, you know, were committed and monogamous. I never had any casual play like that. And after divorce, I gave myself permission to just date and have fun and experiment. Kate, I mean, I went to swinger parties.
I love it.
I had so much curiosity around polyamory and non-monogamy and what did it mean to be a unicorn? Like all the things out of the box around, you know, sexual exploration. I can't say I did them all, but I was curious and open and definitely dated differently. I have been pretty much non-monogamous this whole time. I have not had a monogamous relationship, like a traditional monogamous relationship since my divorce. And it's been almost 6 years. That doesn't mean that I don't want connection or depth It's just, I'm not as attached to monogamy, which for me is kind of mind blowing because my whole life, I just wanted this one person, this one. And now I'm like, well, I mean, maybe two, three, you know, I'm not really attached to monogamy. It's kind of hard to communicate that to men sometimes because they don't understand why a woman wouldn't want monogamy. They don't get that. They get why they might want monogamy.
They don't want monogamy.
And then like a woman is saying this? Wait a minute, time out. So that's been kind of empowering to be like, yeah, I don't really need that anymore. Like it doesn't mean I want shallow connection or that I'm just sleeping around or you know, that's not what non-monogamy means to me.
Right.
Okay. But I kind of like that. It feels powerful. Like, yeah, I'm not super attached to having a boyfriend. Uh-huh. You know, I've even been a little, I'm just going to lean in. I don't know if your audience, but I've been a little bi-curious.
About
being bi-curious on my podcast because I'm like, well, I mean, I know I identify as heterosexual, but okay. I'm a little curious. Just going to say it. And to be able to say it out loud, it's kind of fun for me. Just saying.
I think that's great. And I think my audience actually will very much appreciate a conversation around that because I think a lot of women, when they get divorced, when they've been in a long-term heterosexual relationship, often get out and realize like, actually, I think I've been bi like my whole life and I've just kind of been repressing it. So I don't know if that's the same for you, but I do know a lot of women.
I don't really say I'm bisexual because I haven't ever sexually been with a woman, but okay. I'm open to it.
You're open to it. Hey, ladies.
I'm like curious.
Hey, ladies.
It's true. A pretty lady. Turns my head for sure.
Okay. Everybody hear that?
I didn't know we're going there today about happiness after divorce. But that's the freedom, right? That's the freedom. Like I feel so free that I am open to more things than I used to be.
You get to choose.
I'm happy about that.
I'm happy about it too for you.
Oh, yeah,
okay. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos, really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
Okay, we are back to, well, we were talking about being bi-curious before the break. We are going to, I think maybe, well, I don't know. I mean, I was going to say move on from that. But I mean, at the end of the day, this is about freedom. And this is about freedom of expression and freeing yourself to choose whatever you want to choose.
Right. And I've really leaned into that since my divorce. And it's not just around dating and sex, but also it's around, you know, how I spend my time and who I stay connected to. I think after divorce, and maybe this is something your listener can resonate with, there were just some relationships that just I did not want to stay connected in those relationships because they were negative. They reminded me of like, oh, that friend represents how angry and sad I was because this person is always angry and sad. And so there's that freedom to also move on from other relationships in a very kind and loving way after divorce. You know, I think because of that transformation, there's just certain connections that don't resonate anymore. And that was also meaningful in the sense like I don't have to stay in this relationship to be the nice person. I can actually move on, you know, just like if someone wasn't getting their cup filled being my friend, I wouldn't really want them to just hang out because they felt, you know, sorry for me or they felt guilty. It's like, move on, like find the people that you resonate with. So I also think it's important to say like your happiness is it's bigger than just dating and sex. It's like, who gets to have my time? Who gets to have my focus? What do I want to focus on? And just really being true to myself. You know, it's like really been a season of being true to me. And that's been awesome. I mean, it really is.
And there are two things I want to say. First of all, about the friendships, right? Because the people that were like angry at me for not being honest, right? For me, it was like, oh, that's weird. You're a narcissist just like him, right? Because it was my same picker that was picking all of my relationships from my husband to my friends. And so it does make sense that as you change and shift and grow in your life, the friendships that you chose at a different point are going to fall away, and that's okay. And as you said, you can do it kindly, you can do it with grace, you can do it right.
Exactly. It can be a little awkward, but doing it with grace and kindness. And it's not necessarily like you have to have a conversation, you're breaking up with a friend, but just things change and it's okay. It's kind of, you know, it's when you've had a friend since you were 25 years old and that person is no longer your friend after 25 years, it feels there's a loss there, but there's also huge power in knowing that now I get to have friendships also that fill my cup, and I get to have friendships that where people are being thoughtful towards me. And I have plenty of friends like that. I certainly am not low on good friends. I don't mean it like that, but it's just, that's something I absolutely observed after divorce. It's because I had changed, you know, I had changed and not everybody was comfortable with how I had changed, and that's okay. And it's okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's okay. It's also okay to let those go. I know that,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I had friends during my marriage, but again, I was so disconnected from myself that I don't think my friendships were all that sort of rich. The richness of the friendships that I have now, and people always comment on how many really, really close friends I have. And it's true. I do. I have so many friends and they are all like incredibly dear to me. They're intimate friendships. They really, really matter to me. That fills my cup. You know, again, we were talking about, you know, being single and not being in a relationship. Like those relationships fill me up, you know, they do. They satisfy a lot of that need for connection that otherwise I would have wanted to get from a man. So, okay, let's talk about, like you said, that you get to be sort of unapologetically and authentically you. But what kind of work did you do to be able to get there? And I imagine it began probably while you were still married, right? Because there's some work that you have to do to get to a point where you're ready to get to the other side of this. Let's talk about like the work that you do to become a happy person, really.
Well, I shared some of it earlier, just around that self-care, like mm-hmm. self-respect, mm-hmm. Authenticity. I think I have friendships now that really, I have friends that are having my back to make sure that I'm staying authentic, because it's easy to slip into that good girl role. So yeah. I absolutely have friends that call me out on things or really check in. And I think it's practicing, you know, practicing that authenticity, practicing really saying what I'm feeling and thinking. I've had therapy. I've been in therapy. That's been very helpful. I've done things like EMDR, brain spotting, to work through different trauma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's also just what's really helped me do the work is being consistent with myself. Because one thing I learned about myself is that I wasn't really good at honoring other people. I wasn't really good at boundary setting. Like, I would let people kind of cross the boundary all the time. But one thing I learned through therapy is that I couldn't keep my own boundaries with myself. So if I can't respect my own boundaries, like, this is what I'm committing to, and this is what I'm going to do, and then I don't keep those commitments for myself, it's really easy to let someone else also cross the boundary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I've been much more mindful of since my divorce, is really sticking to it, you know. And if I'm not, then I need to go and get more support. Like, if I can't honor my own boundaries, then I need to reach out and get more support. So that's one of the biggest takeaways for me on the work. It's like, well, what's your boundary here? And how are you honoring it? I had an opportunity with someone I was dating casually where I gave him a boundary of like, this is how I need to have communication be. It needs to be like this. I mean, if you need more than 3 days to text me back, why bother? Right?
Right. Yeah.
So that happened where he didn't text me. He didn't text me for days and days. And I'm like, okay, well, moving on. Where I think like the me 3-4 years ago would have been like waiting for him and getting anxious and overthinking it and taking it personally. When the me today is like, well, moving on.
I love that as an example of honoring your own boundaries.
Being able to say to him, hey, you know, this is what I need and good luck to you and peace out. I mean, it wasn't like this big drama. It wasn't like, you know, it was like, whatever, moving on, because I know that I'm going to be okay. And there's plenty of other people to be dating, and it's not personal and it's not about me. And I don't need to like put up with his BS, and I can honor my boundary. You knew my boundary. And now I get to honor it. He didn't honor it, but I am going to. And so it was like, okay, universe, thanks for the practice. Got it. Keep doing it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love that. I love that. I think that's so important. I think the Pia Melody talks about, you know, internal and external boundaries. And they're very specifically exactly what you said, right? That we have our internal boundaries are, you know, how we allow people to infiltrate our thoughts and our behaviors and all of these things, right? And I used to be that way. I used to be so reactionary. If someone didn't text me back, then I was obsessing and perseverating and making up stories, or I would be yelling at them and like making them wrong and so much shit, right? And you're right. It's like, oh, this is a person who I was very clear about what I need. They're now actively choosing not to provide it for me. And so my job is to honor myself and my own boundaries.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, simple. Actually,
it's took practice very simple. Decades, right? Decades of therapy.
Before I'm divorced, door and got that down.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Well, that's like the biggest boundary there is, right? And that's what I say in my book too. It's like saying I want a divorce is one of the biggest boundaries you can ever set, because I don't know about you, but in my marriage, I was saying, you know, you can't treat me that way. For years, but I was staying in the marriage and he was continuing to treat me that way. So really he could. And it wasn't until I was ready to be like, oh no, actually you can't treat me that way because I am now no longer your wife. That like, that's when it changed.
And it's been interesting too, since divorce, is to keep that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still have that co-parenting dynamic. And so for me, again, it's been practicing like, yeah, I got divorced for a reason and I'm done with that. Like that is over.
Yes.
And if this is how this is going to continue to be between our connection, like then there's like some things we have to figure out. So yeah, I've definitely had practice with the ex around my own stuff, right? Like my own way of behaving. Yep. I've had to change and work on too, which has been good for me.
Girl, same. And it's really challenging in divorce. It's really challenging because on the one hand, you're divorced, right? And you don't want to have that connection. Like you don't have to be in that dynamic anymore. But this is also, you're having to stay connected to this person and talk to them sometimes on a daily basis about logistics or whatever. And it's hard to not get sucked back into the dynamics of the relationship over and over and over again.
Right. But I also will say, and points to you as well, because I know that you've talked about on my podcast, working through your codependency. One thing I will say is I no longer, like he can be in the worst mood and does not impact me. Like he can be tantruming in the corner and that's not about me. And I feel so happy and grateful again that I don't take that on anymore. And the divorce is obviously the significant boundary, but you can still take it on even if you are divorced. So you know, the practice of like, that's not about me. That's not my business. He can mind his business and I'll mind my business. And as long as I'm okay, I'm good. And my kids are okay. You know, it's really claiming that happiness. Like this person no longer has an impact on my happiness and the way that that person has in the past impacted it. So that's very freeing and liberating and empowering. And, you know, for me, when I think about that choice to stay in that situation, it's like, wow, I want to say to anyone listening to this is that practice that love, that self-love, because for me, once I could really like own that and claim that and talk differently to myself and treat myself differently and have my focus be on different types of connections, like I just don't have time for any of that. I think part of me used to like, you know, there was something about that I needed, you know, there was something about that, that I needed that. And I do not need that anymore. I do not need that anymore, Kate. And that feels good.
Listen, it's amazing. We're going to take one more break and we'll be right back.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.
If you like this show, there's a decent chance you'll also enjoy The Shameless Mom Academy. Hi, I'm Sarah Dean, the founder and host of The Shameless Mom Academy. The Shameless Mom Academy is a podcast for moms that centers moms more than it centers your kids. I'm not going to teach you how to make baby food or how to make your 3-year-old or 13-year-old stop having tantrums. Instead, I'm going to bring you back to yourself. For the last 20 years, I've been helping moms through growth and transformation. Inside the Shameless Mom Academy, I help you identify who you are and who you are becoming. Look, motherhood is hard. It brought me to my knees many times and sometimes still does. Returning to who I am and who I am becoming allows me to decide how to show up in all those sticky motherhood moments, but also in all my other relationships and in all the ways I show up in my various communities. So come check out the Shameless Mom Academy wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm willing to bet you'll leave feeling a little inspired and maybe even completely fired up. And you'll probably laugh a few times because I promise we never take ourselves too seriously over here. With 700 episodes to choose from, you're likely going to find something that sparks and speaks to you inside the Shameless Mom Academy.
Okay, we were talking about
not needing it anymore, but I think it's something you said before that, which was that there, you get something out of it. And I think it's really, I do believe that the key to unlocking that chain and ripping it off once and for all is to address, like, what am I getting out of this? Right? What am I getting out of continuing to be in this dynamic and relationship? And I think for me, there was a lot of, I get to be right. There was a lot of, I get to be the bigger person. I get to be right about him. Right? I don't know what else. What did you ever identify what it was specifically that you got out of that?
I think it's a reinforcement, you know, from childhood that I'm not enough. Yeah. Like, no matter what I do, I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I was raised I had loving parents, but I was raised by parents who were always doing and producing, and perfection was kind of a big thing.
Yes.
I shared earlier, I was a daughter of a minister. I had to be the good girl. So
right.
I think it, like, I, you know, from such a young age, it's like I was felt like I could never be enough or never do enough. I could never be good enough. And that was like kind of reinforcing that. Like, if I was enough, someone would treat me different. If I was enough, someone would talk to me in a kind way. If I was enough, someone would be gentle and soft with me. But I'm not enough. So this is what I get.
That's right.
Yes. You know, for me, it's like, no, fuck that. I am enough. And I'm moving on. So for me, it's like, I remember talking, with my minister actually, and saying there has to be more than this. Like, there has to be more than this. Like, I was just done accepting, like, that was my life. And whatever part of me was ready for more, I'm so grateful, because that choice that I deserve more and I want more. And it wasn't even like someone else, some new relationship is going to give me that. It's like I will choose to create a life that will give me that. It wasn't about, you know, getting divorced so I could find a better, healthier relationship, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But I did find that relationship, and that's been with me. So that's why, again, I can easily say I'm not needing monogamy, because I'm not pining for that one person to give me something that I didn't have in my marriage. I can give that to myself. You know, healthy relationships outside of romantic ones are very rewarding for me. I have a lot of male friends. That's one thing I've loved about divorce, is that I can have male friends again and nobody thinks, you know, it's inappropriate. I love it, because I remember when I was a girl in high school and junior high, I had all these male friends and it was great. Aww. So I love that, you know, I love having male friends. I can just call them up and we can have real conversation and there's nothing romantic or weird going on that we have to worry about. And it's great. I love it.
It's so good. I love the freedom that you just sort of exude and express and own and claim. And you do it in such a sort of vivacious and I love it. Just, yeah, it's infectious.
It is.
Infectious. Yeah, it is. So, okay, I wanted to ask you one more question, because I saw this on your Instagram and I didn't know what it was. And I know it's coming out on your podcast. So something about a sprinkle?
Oh, that episode was a teaser to my season 5, which has dropped already. So yeah, get sprinkled. Yeah. So
Can you tell us what it is?
So part of my dating. Okay. So I'm a very creative person. I'm an artist. I love creating, period.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So when I used to go on first dates and they would get a little boring, I'd be like, hey, we should play a game. Do you want to play a get to know you game? And the guy would be like, sure. Like, what's happening?
Right.
And I created this one game that was called Vanilla Strawberry Sprinkles. Okay. So vanilla was like the dating basics, compatibility questions we'd ask each other. And then the strawberry was more ethics and emotional EQ. And then the sprinkles, Kate, was like the delicious, naughty questions that we'd like build our way up to. So I was asking my listeners if they wanted to get sprinkled, you know, which meant, do you want to get, you know, spicy, naughty? Yeah.
A little naughty. Okay.
So I actually have a quiz. Your listener can take the quiz at my website, divorcedandhappy.net. It's the Vanilla Strawberry Sprinkles quiz. It's a dating profile flavor quiz. And there's like 6 different flavors you can be. They're not vanilla, strawberry, or sprinkles. Okay. They're their own unique flavors and you can take it. And you know what's even more fun, Kate, is you can take it on a date because there's a one scoop version for your solo play fun. And there's a two scoop version where you literally on a date can be on my website and you can do these questions simultaneously and you can share your answers and you're going to learn a lot about your date. You might even get sprinkled after your date. Wink, wink. So there you go. I love your face.
I'm going to go take the quiz, everybody.
All right. Fun. Yeah. The VSS quiz, vanilla, strawberry sprinkles.
I love it. I love it. Sprinkles are my favorite. I don't care what the flavor of ice cream is. I always want sprinkles. So I don't know what that says about me.
Well, take the quiz. I want to know what flavor you are.
I'm going to do it right after we get off this call.
Very fun.
So, all right, divorcedandhappy.net. Go take the quiz. And then everyone can find you also over on Instagram. Tell everybody where they can find all the things.
Well, I have over 100 episodes about life after divorce. My podcast is very, if you haven't figured that out by my personality, very playful, spicy, and out of the box topics. And that's at divorcedandhappy.net. You can find every episode. You can also find me on almost all podcast platforms. I'm in my fifth season. We're having a lot of fun. And of course, on social media at Sadie's Divorced and Happy, my Instagram community is the best. We do a lot of fun game nights where I'll have different themes and topics and we play games. Are you shocked? I love games. So join in the fun. Join in the life after divorce fun at Sadie's Divorced and Happy.
Oh, thank you so much, Sadie. You're awesome and infectious and I love it. And I'm so glad you were here.
Thank you. Cheers to life after divorce, right, Kate?
Cheers. Cheers, baby.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at the Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
Hi there, I'm Andrea Owen, self-help author with 19 translations of my books, global keynote speaker, and life coach. My podcast, Make Some Noise, has been serving up self-help in a simple-to-digest way for the last decade. The topics brought in each episode are practical and easy to implement around topics such as working through fears that keep you stuck, different modalities of therapy, managing your negative self-talk, and more. We bring you guest experts, solo episodes, and I even coach listeners on the air around relatable struggles. I also do my best to weave my sense of humor into some heavy topics because, let's face it, life can be pretty hard and it's so much better when we can have some fun while walking through our challenges. Whether you're seasoned in personal development or just starting out, Make Some Noise podcast will help you become the best version of yourself, the person you're proud of when you look in the mirror and show up in your life. Simply search Make Some Noise with Andrea Owen wherever you listen to your podcasts.